All right. Well, it's good to be here this morning. I hope you're excited. Let's come with expectation to hear what God wants to say to our hearts this morning. Amen. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. And we're going to continue in this series. And as we look at a story in the Bible, and we'll read in Numbers verses 1 and 2, then we'll jump down to verse 25 here in just a second. Numbers 13, verse 1 says this: "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a chief among them.'" And so what God had promised, that he's going to give them the promised land, and he tells Moses to send out a representative of each tribe of Israel. There's 12 tribes. So he sends 12 men to represent each tribe to go out and spy the land. And they go for 40 days, and they're looking at the land, looking at the layout, getting some produce from the land. They bring back a cluster of grapes that takes two men to carry them on a pole. And so it's a very fertile, good land. And then let's jump down to verse 25, and let's hear the report as they come back from that. "At the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, 'We came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan.' But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it.' Then the men who'd gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are.' So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to spy out, it is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them.'" Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we look at the story, that you will speak to us and that you will help us to live by faith and not by sight. Help me to preach plain and clear today, Lord. I understand the judgment of my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we continue in this series, The Path Before Us, we're going to look at, there's 12 guys that got sent out into the land to spy out. You have Joshua and Caleb who come back and say, "We can take the land." You have 10 others who say, "Not going to happen. We can't do it." And so you have Joshua and Caleb, and then they suck the whole congregation, the whole Israelite camp, into their disbelief. And so we have Joshua and Caleb who are our characters. And the path that we're going to look at is faith or fear? Faith or fear? In life, you will either be motivated by faith or fear. You'll either be moved by fear or you'll be moved by faith. And so God had made a promise to the people of Israel saying, "I'm going to give you this land." Now, here's where we got to start. When God says something, we got to believe that he is a God who does what he says he's going to do, right? So we got to have trust. We got to trust the Lord. If God makes a promise, then guess what? We can count on him keeping a promise. True? If I make a promise, maybe, maybe not, right? But if God makes a promise, he will keep his promise. And he said, "I'm going to give you this land." And so he made the promise, and they go spy out the land, and Joshua and Caleb, they come back and they say, "Man, it is exactly how God said it was. It's rich. It's I mean, the fruit is growing there. It is a prime land. Let's go. I am ready. Let's take it. Because why? What were they moved by? They were moved by the promise. God made a promise, and they believed he could keep it. But what happened was, is that 10 of them, they didn't focus on the promise. They weren't looking at what God said he was going to do for them. Instead of looking at the promise, guess what they looked at? They looked at the people or the problem. They gave all kinds of excuses of why they couldn't conquer the land. Did you see the people? They're huge. They're much bigger than us. They're smarter than us. They're stronger than us. There's no way we can go on this land. The land, it's rough. I mean, it's not. And notice how quickly what happened was they came back and they brought their negativity. They brought their disbelief. They brought their fear. And it infected the whole congregation. Have you ever noticed how that happens? How negativity and fear can just spread through everybody real quick, right? I mean, you can hear 10 great things, but that one negative thing you hear, and what do you focus on? That one negative thing, right? And Joshua and Caleb, they're outnumbered. They're like, we can do this because God said we can do it, and the other said, there's no way we can do it. Those guys, they will destroy us. We can't do this. Why? Because they were being moved by fear. They feared the people. They were looking at the problem. They weren't looking at the promise. They weren't looking at God. And so they said, why in the world did Moses bring us out here? It'd been better for us to go live in Egypt. Well, what was their situation in Egypt? They were slaves. They're like, it'd been better if we'd go back. You know, isn't it weird how we will go back to the things that will shackle us? How many times do people run back to the very thing that enslaved them? Because of fear. And they take the whole congregation, they're like, let's go back, let's appoint a new leader. So they took a big church-wide vote and voted Moses and Aaron out and voted them some new people in and said, let's go back to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron, they start crying out to God. Joshua and Caleb, they rip their clothes and they drop down to their knees. They start crying out to God. Because they're about to make a huge mistake. And God was done with them. God was going to say, okay, I'm finished with you. I will raise up a whole new army from you all that will make this, that will be better and greater than ever. And Moses intercedes on behalf of the people and says, Lord God, don't do it. Don't show your steadfast love. Don't give up on them. Still show your love. What if the other nations hear about the God who delivered this people out of Egypt and then they're not able to make it? I mean, what's that going to say? Lord, don't show your steadfast love. And God shows his mercy on them. And he pours out his love on them. He comforts them. And he doesn't leave them. He doesn't forsake them. But he does bring judgment upon them. Because here's the deal. Every choice has a consequence. You can choose which path you walk down. God will let you live by faith or by fear. And here's what happened. God said, okay, if they want to walk in doubt, if they want to grumble, because the Bible says they started grumbling against Moses and Aaron, if they want to grumble, and if they want to live in doubt, fear, grumbling, complaining, they can. But everyone age 20 and up, they're not getting in the promised land. So everyone who's 20 years and older, you can walk path B. That's the path you chose. So for every day that you spied out the land, which was 40 days. Every day is going to be a year. And so for 40 years, You can walk in the wilderness. You can walk that path. So for 40 years, they wander through the wilderness and they miss out on the promise that God had gave them. And only two people from that era gets in, and that is Joshua and Caleb, because they believed the Lord. Now let me just ask you, what motivates you in life? What are you moved by? Do you allow your faith to move you, or do you allow fear, doubt, grumbling, worry move you? When something bad happens to you, do you say, "Oh, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it," and you just look at all of the, you start thinking about all of the things that are going to go wrong? I mean, some of you worry so much that when you don't have anything to worry about, you worry. You're like, "Oh, something bad must be going to happen because I haven't worried about anything in a while." And so anytime that whatever happens, so something goes wrong in your marriage, are you moved by fear or faith? Something goes wrong at the workplace, you moved by fear or faith? Something goes wrong in your children, you're raising your kids up, you're raising them right, but they go wayward. Fear or faith? Do you say, "Oh, I don't know if they're ever going to be brought on the right track," or do you say, "No, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to believe that God's going to have his hand on them." What are you moved by? What are you moved by? You see, Caleb had a different kind of spirit. He followed him fully. He trusted God. And so Joshua and Caleb, they get to enter the promised land while the rest of those folks do not. And in life, guess what? You're always going to be faced with decisions. You're going to have choices. You're going to have opportunities. You're going to have moments when God nudges you and says, "Here's what I want you to do." And you're going to have to make a decision. Do I live by faith, or am I moved by the fears of what might could happen? Now, many of you all are new to Living Water Church. Over 13 years ago, my wife was 25 years old, and she was pregnant with Caleb, our firstborn son, and I was 27, and we moved to Mount Sterling, Kentucky, because Fairview Baptist Church, the Kentucky Baptist Convention, and North American Mission Board partnered together to start a church. This is my lovely wife. This is the home that we live. We bought our first home. We don't have any pictures of our home Bible studies. I don't know what happened. I guess we were just, I don't know. But here we go. I was 27, moved here in the summer. She was 25. We started having home Bible studies. And we had a few folks with us. I didn't know anybody when we moved to Mount Sterling. She knew a couple ladies that she went to college with. The only thing I knew about Mount Sterling was that I said that I'm never coming back here, because I stopped through here one day when I was going to Lexington, and I stopped at the McDonald's, and I had such a hectic time trying to get out of that place. I said, "I'm never coming back to this place." Didn't know I was going to end up living here. And so God sent me here. He said, "Oh yeah, you remember that place you said you're never going back to? That's where you're going." And so we moved here, and we started having home Bible studies. We got some folks that were, Chester was in our Bible study. We had Doyle and Fair Jane. Doyle was 25 years old at the time. We had Tony and Christina was with us, and we was in our home, and just, we had a choice. Are we going to be moved by faith or by fear? We began dreaming about the possibilities of what it would look like if we started a church that was all about Jesus. That wasn't about, our denomination, wasn't about this or that, but it was all about trying to point people to Jesus. That he is the hope, he is the answer. You see, I grew up, I'm in that Generation X category, where the statisticians and all of the demographic folks were saying, Generation X, they just have they're apathetic, they don't really have a lot of ambition, they have a gloomy despair of the world. That's what they were saying about our generation, that they don't have a lot of hope. And I thought, you know what, if our generation don't see a lot of hope in the world, I know who they need to know. Jesus, because he brings hope. And so we're sitting there talking about what would it look like if we start church, and here we are, we're just faith or fear, moved by faith or fear. So we had some home Bible studies for a while, and then we, in April of 2004, we rent out a little storefront building, and in May, we start having weekly services there on Main Street. Some of you might have saw this as you went by and thought, that's a crazy church. And there we were in the storefront. That's a group of people from Joshua Land who came down to help us build the building on Grassy Lick. We'll get to that in just a minute. Here is the inside of the storefront. There we are, three rows, right? So kind of one, two, three. Had about this much room. This was the area right here. This was the storefront. And we were in there for 2 years. And Donna, you were there, you and Roy, and we still preaching the same message we're preaching now, right? We ain't changed. We're still preaching about Jesus. And I was still preaching in that storefront, "Now, Sterling, they need Jesus. We need to go out and tell people about Jesus," you know. And there's like 20 of us or 25 of us, and it made the time of fellowship was really, really something if a visitor came, right? There's like 25 of us. We all knew each other. So when a visitor came in, everybody knew that they were a visitor. One of the good things about here now is you can kind of come in and just kind of sneak in, right? And we don't know if you're a visitor or not, but when we're in the storefront, it's like, "All right, everybody, shake somebody's hand." And so we'd all see that new person. Be like, I actually saw a new person kind of like flinch one Sunday, and I'm like, "Yeah, maybe we need to cut this back a little bit. Maybe we're a little too." But we were in the storefront for a couple years, and met a guy by the name of Chris Wurzel, who said he was built churches. He built buildings for churches who couldn't afford to build churches, and that was us. And so we bought a piece of land on Grassy Lick, and they came up, and within 3 months, that building was built. There was like 10 different states represented in this, and so this was the building on Grassy Lick that we built. Some of you might have saw that go up. And here's the picture of our stage at Grassy Lick. There it is. On the Islock, the whole building could fit in this middle section right here. And we were there for 6 years, okay? Saw God do amazing things, and we were just continually being faithful. Now, I have to say, now back in the storefront, I was kind of teeter-tottered a little bit. You ever have those teeter-totter moments where you kind of start thinking about doubting? Anybody ever, you start thinking about doubting? I start thinking, like, is this going to really work? So I'm in the storefront wondering, is this going to work? God gave me this verse. "Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not give up." And so sometimes in life, guess what? You don't see the fruit. You don't see the promise. It doesn't look like the promise is coming. So what do? Do you doubt? Do you start worrying? Do you stress out? Do you wander through the wilderness going, "Oh, I knew it. I knew this wasn't going to work. Oh, I knew. God, where are you?" Or do you say, "Lord, I might not see it, but I'm going to keep sowing. I'm going to keep watering. I'm going to keep working the soil because I know that eventually one day it's going to happen. My marriage, it might not look good now, but it's going to happen. My kids may not look right now, but it's going to happen. My job situation may not look good now, but it's going to happen. My finances may not look right now, but it's going to happen." So don't give up. You just keep on trusting the promise of God. And so we're out there, and we had ups and downs. I mean, it looked like we had prayed and fasted for perfect weather when we built that building. And the week that we were building the foundation, it came down like the days of Noah. I mean, it poured, and my father-in-law, Mike, his prayer life increased dramatically during that moment. There was a barn off to the side he'd go to, and that was his prayer wall. He'd go over there, and he'd just pray and pray. We had this really nice facility design. Architect drew the plans up. It was a really nice gymnocafeteria worship center, all in one, a big, huge, multi-purpose facility. Really nice, about a $1.2 million, around $1 million project around that. Nobody would, we couldn't get a loan to get that thing built. Now, we had been needing to go to three services at that time, but I was holding us back. And I said, well, here's what we're going to do. Since we can't get this building, we'll go to three services. Let's paint the downstairs. Let's do all this stuff. Let's get it ready. In the meantime, if you all see anything out there available, let us know. We'll go look at it. So we paint the downstairs, move to three services. A week later, Jeff calls me up and says, Grant, I got a building for us to look at. I think, oh. I start teetering a little bit. Oh, no. I don't know, and I'll drive by the building. I'm like, I don't know. I was like, but I did say we'd look at it, right? And so we come in here, and I look at it, and I start looking around. I'm like, wow, there's some potential. There's some, we could put the worship area here. Kids ministry could happen here. We'd have this going here and this going here. And so we call an emergency meeting where the church comes together, and we're like, here's what's happened. Here's the plan. Here's an opportunity before us. We all come down, we look at this place, walk it, pray about it, go back to the church, and I'm like, okay, what do y'all want to do? And I'm thankful that we have a church of people not like the children of Israel. Because instead of saying, well, I don't know, it's going to be an awful lot of money, it's awful big, the church said, let's do it. Let's go do this. Let's do it. If God's for it, let's do it. Let's get behind this. God's in this. Let's do it. And so I'm sitting there kind of teetering thinking, you know, if they say no, then that's okay because we're grassy lick. We got that building paid off. But when they said, let's go, you know what? That helped me. That motivated my faith. I don't know if I've ever shared that with you. That motivated my faith. You all having the faith to believe that. And that how that we need each other. As fellow believers in Christ, when my faith gets a little weak, I need you to encourage me, right? That's what the Bible says about do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that when we come together, we need to stimulate one another into good works. We need to encourage one another. So we need to be encouraging each other, encouraging that faith that, hey, if God's not forgotten about you, if you think, where's God? He's right there with you. He says he will never leave you or forsake you. Now, you might not sense him, but that doesn't mean he's not there. You might not see his hand, but it doesn't mean his hand's not holding you, right? So encourage one another with these words. So man, we go out and well, we're here, right? We're here. And since being in the new facility, let me make sure I get this number right, we have seen 248 people profess faith through believers' baptism right there through those waters. 248 people. The impact, and I told Mike, I don't know where he's at now. I told Mike, I said, get ready. Get ready, y'all, church. I've started kind of dreaming again and start thinking of like, uh-oh, what's next? What's next? Because here's what. Those of you who are 25 and older, listen to this, 25 and older. So my wife was 25 years old. I was 27 when we moved here. Louis was 25 when we started. The example of faith that we have set, we expect it to increase. Amen. I keep expecting God to keep sending us people of faith, people of vision, people who will believe God's promises. And so the generation under us needs to continue what we've started, right? So if we continue to move in faith, guess what? Who knows what God wants to do through Living Water Church 80 years from now? Right? Who knows where God's going to take us? Here's what I want to challenge us is will we be a church and will we be individuals who will step out in faith and follow God and trust him? You see, Caleb, it says, had a different kind of spirit he fully trusted and followed God. That's one of the reasons why we named our son Caleb after this story. Can that be said of us? That I'm a person who fully follows and trusts in God. What would that look like for your life individually? What are some things and areas in your life right now? Now, I don't know them and I don't have to know them. But right now, on your paper or whatever, what are the things in your life right now that you could fear, that could cause you to worry, that could cause you to stress, that could cause you to just be frozen in inactivity? What are the things that could cause you to go into depression and just to try to escape this life? What are those things right now? And let me ask you, instead of being motivated by fear, what about faith? Instead of looking at the problems and everything that could go wrong, what about looking at the promises and the things that God says can go well? So today, some of you have been wandering maybe in a wilderness. And here's the good news. Jesus calls us out of that to live with him. We live and now in the grace of God, where he makes his mercy new every day. Now, there may be some consequences that you have to live with for this path, but you don't have to stay in the wilderness. You don't have to stay in fear, doubt, grumbling, anxiety. You don't have to live there. You can come over to trust, believe, receive. Right? You can walk in the promises of God. What do you think? What's God want to do in your life? What's he calling you to do? What kind of husband is God calling you to be? What kind of wife is God calling you to be? Parents, we have ungodly influences bombarding our children all around us. We better be praying a hedge of protection and protecting them. We better be investing in their lives spiritually as well as the material things that we give them. What kind of person are you going to be at the workplace? Are you going to be a person of faith who actually lives their faith out and walks their walk out? Or are you going to be one of these people that just bring negativity to everywhere you go? Because what happened was, they didn't get into the promised land. And guess what? Moses didn't even get in the promised land. But Joshua and Caleb did. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the blessings of God. I want Living Water Church to walk in the blessings of God. What do you think? Think about it. Think about this. We have seen God do amazing things in the 13 years that we're going on here at Living Water Church. Would you agree? We need to keep following, trusting, believing in Jesus, preaching Jesus, sharing Jesus, living for Jesus, loving him, letting him be known to other people. And what's God going to do in the next 13 years? What does God want to do in your life right now? You may think, you say, Grant, well, this sounds all great and wonderful because it sounds, you know, things are going well. It's not always gone well, and life doesn't always have the always perfect moments. There are rough times. There are hard spots. But what do you do in those hard moments? Do you throw up your hands, quit, and say, well, I guess it's all over. God will never use me. God's never going to fix this situation. Or do you say, you know what? I believe that God said that in him I am more than a conqueror. In him I have life everlasting. In him I am safe. I am secure. What can man do to me? Death, where's your sting? You can't triumph over me. there's nothing you can take from me that God can't keep me safe from. I am secure in Jesus. Worst thing that can happen that we think is dying. But when we die, guess what? We live. There is hope in Christ. Do you know him? Now, traditionally, this is Palm Sunday, and I know we didn't have a Palm Sunday message this morning, but let me just throw this at you. Just like the children of Israel who would not believe God, sometimes they would say, "Yay, look what God did, let's follow him," and then they'd be like, "Oh, I can't believe God did this." When Jesus was riding in on the donkey, he had a group of people saying what? "Hosanna! Hosanna! Woo! Our Savior, he's come." And then he got tried, and he was standing before Pilate, and he said, "Who do you want me to release, Jesus or Barabbas?" He said, "Barabbas." "What do you want me to do with Jesus?" "Crucify. Crucify." Moved by fear now. This Savior we thought is now a criminal. I'm not going to believe him. In life, we are always faced with decisions. And we will either be moved by our faith or we will be moved by our fear. And when we are moved by our fear, it will move us away from trusting the promises of God and focus on the problems of people or situations before us, and we will be wandering in a wilderness. And it could be for years. Don't waste your life. Life is too short to be going around and around and around in a wilderness of depression, in a wilderness of heartache, in a wilderness of unforgiveness, in a wilderness of anger, in a wilderness of you name it. Instead, step out on faith and walk his path and trust him and fully follow God and allow him to take you down the path he wants you to take. Because I promise you, his path is better than our path. What do you think? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, sometimes we just, we struggle. We struggle with faith. Sometimes we want to believe, but there's something about us that holds us back. We're like the guy that Jesus was going to heal. He says, "Do you believe me?" And he says, "Yes, but help my unbelief. Help me to believe more. I need to believe more." So, Father, there may be a man or woman here today that they're just going through some things that's attacking them emotionally, maybe physically, Lord, maybe financially, and they just are struggling. And they want to believe, and they want to have faith, but Lord, they need their faith increased. So Lord, would you increase their faith this morning? Father, there's someone here today, they don't know you as Lord and Savior. They've never trusted you as Lord and Savior. Today they need to step out and say, "I need to trust in Jesus." There's people and things in our life that we want to lift up in prayer. And so Lord, at this time, as we sing and have invitation, may the altar be a place where we can lift up our concerns and lift up our brothers, sisters, Lord, our friends, family, and lift them before your throne. So Lord, let this time be a time of worship, praise, and also of prayer. And may we be obedient to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's come, let's respond how God wants you to move.